eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hi, my name is Jake Tapper, and I feel ironic about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. We're plowing through the summer, unless it's a, unless of course it's a rebroadcast. Maybe you're listening to this years from now, and it's, and maybe you're in a part of the world where it's not only winter, but it's freezing out. So me talking about the summer is just stupid.
Plowing through the summer.
We're plowing through the summer. I'm going to tell you, I'm, of course, something in my throat.
Swallowed a bug.
No, you know what? I have a, I got a cold last week. And my throat's a little iffy. And so just my throat wasn't working correctly for a second. And it was a crucial second because I'm podcasting to billions of people around the world right now.
Dude, with a sore throat, how do you plow through the summer?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to.
Okay. And you had a cold last week? We saw you last week. Yeah. And you breathed over
Man,
all
of us. He does this to us all the time.
Yeah.
I just think it's a celebrity cold. And you're welcome to have it. You can sell it on eBay.
Jesus.
Anyway, my point is, joined by Sonam Avsesian, Matt Gourley.
Yes.
And the point I'm making is that I used to have a lot of anxiety. I was very happy about the summer, obviously, because I didn't like going to school. And when the summer would come, the minute July 4th was over, I started getting anxious about, oh, no, the summer, it's going too quickly. You know, how do I slow it down? And then suddenly it's July 15th, and you think, no, oh, this is awful. It's almost August, and it was just this terrible. And then I would ruin the summer.
Because you were worried
because
about
Because I was worried about the summer not
I know
being
that
long
feeling.
Enough.
I had that problem too.
Did you have
serious?
It too?
Yeah.
I loved staying home from school so much that I almost couldn't enjoy it. I always enjoy the day before a day off more than the day off.
Yes.
Isn't that horrible?
I understand that.
Yeah.
I always liked sort of late Friday afternoon was my favorite part of the weekend because technically the weekend hadn't started yet.
Yeah.
And then once the weekend started, there was all this anxiety about, it's going too quickly. Yeah. No. God. Yes.
That is not me at all. I enjoyed it up until Sunday, Monday morning.
You don't get Sunday blues?
No.
Oh, I would get terrible Sunday blues.
I didn't even know that was something people had.
Oh, I used to bust out my harmonica.
Oh, my God.
And I used to sit on my front porch in Brookline, Massachusetts. Wah, 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 wah. Got the Monday blues. Wah, 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 wah.
So you guys just didn't enjoy yourselves.
Down to my shoes.
Oh.
I made my room into a prison cell and I just rub a cup against the bars.
You don't rub it, you rattle it.
You That's, rub it?
Rub it
you
is erotic.
You rubbed it in your room?
Oh, it was a purely sexual thing. You guys didn't ever do rub a cup?
Come on.
Can't wait.
You're
oh, good, everyone's
out.
Gone. I can rub this cup against these bars.
Takes away the Sunday blues, let me tell you that much.
Oh,
anyway,
boy.
And so now I don't have it as much as an adult because I don't have to go to school again in the fall.
Yeah.
But I had it, a bad case of it. So I was just thinking about this because I remembered feeling the countdown happening after July 4th and having some anxiety about it.
But that only gives you like a few weeks where you actually enjoyed your summer.
Yeah, it's a curse. It's not a good thing.
I'm surprised both of you were like this.
We're similar in a lot of ways.
You
we don't
are.
Want to admit it. Yeah.
Oh,
no, we are.
Okay.
We have similarities.
Well,
we both.
You know, we're taking a break for this show. The listeners won't know. It'll continue to come out steadily, but we're taking a month off where we're not going to see each other. Do you think like 3 weeks or two, even 1 week in, you're going to start to go, oh no, I have to go back?
No.
Because you enjoy us.
Because you love us.
I do enjoy doing this. I'm not going to make a joke. I do enjoy hanging with you guys. but this will give me a chance to really get in shape. Sorry.
I'm surprised because I thought you liked school and you're like, yay, I get to learn again in a few weeks.
No.
Whee!
No, I was very anxious about school.
Me too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of anxiety about school.
All right.
Especially elementary school, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, all through. I mean, it was anxiety provoking for me. Oh,
okay. I was a crier.
You cried?
Yeah.
Wow.
They'd drop me off at
Is that true?
Yeah, I would cry. I would scream and cry. Yeah.
Sometimes I see you outside the podcast studio crying and you've just been dropped off by your mother.
Yes.
And you have a note on your shirt that says, hi, my name is Matt. I'm allergic to nuts.
I would still like to be viewed as a tough person, but I was a crier.
You want, yeah. still
I don't want
to be viewed
to,
as
I don't
a
want
tough
this to
person.
Hurt my perception that people have of me.
Yeah.
As a
You're a tough
big,
guy who cries yeah. and when put in prison, the first thing you'll do is take your cup and rub it against the bars in an erotic ecstasy. Hey, can I tell you something? This is completely
sure.
taking us in a different direction
sure,
now.
Sure, boss.
But it's something that popped into my head recently, and now it's taking me out of every TV show or movie I watch, which is when you're watching a TV show, and I may have mentioned this before, but sometimes my family and I, now that we're all together again, my daughter was off in college, but we're all back. Sometimes if we want to all do something together, we watch, say, like a vintage Gossip Girl, you know? And one of the things that I can't get out of my head is they'll show, a scene will start with the elevator opening and a guy coming out like Chuck Bass or one of these serious characters coming out and giving some grave news.
Chuck Bass.
And, or like this old guy who's supposed to be a senator or a captain of industry who's the father of one of these young people. The elevator door opens up and he comes out. And all I can think about is how it's not a real elevator, that the actor has to sit in there until people on either side pull the doors open and he comes out. And so it's kind of in my head now, and I'm noticing it in all TV shows and movies. Now, if you're watching a high-class movie, yeah, sure, it's a real elevator and the door shuts. But in a lot of cheesy TV shows, especially from the 90s, 2000s, a character will say something like, you haven't heard the last from me. I'll be back, and when I am back, you'll all wish you were dead. And he'll step onto an elevator, and there'll be dramatic music, and the door's shut, and I know that the actor's now just standing in a box.
Oh.
And they just shut the door and he has to wait. And it takes away all the dramatic tension.
Yeah.
Does anyone else think about this? Well, or is it just me?
No, but now that you say that.
Like it ruined Star Trek for me. All those 60s Star Treks where I just know that Kirk is like, we've got to get to the transporter room immediately. Let's go. And he and Spock rush in and the door is shut. And I know that there's two guys getting union pay to move the door shut.
Why do you have to think this?
And now they're standing in there until someone yells cut.
Just don't think it.
It's too late.
Stop thinking.
I have the potential, if I spread this idea that whenever you're watching a TV show and someone gets on an elevator and says a dramatic line and the doors close, or it gets off an elevator, I'm sorry, it's going to take you out of the TV show. It's going to ruin it for you.
It's an elevator.
No,
maybe
it's
taking
not.
Into
it's a box.
Where the thing, where
it's not an elevator. It's a box. And there's two guys on either side that are closing a door. And then they're eating a sandwich afterwards and saying, hey, did you hear the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor?
Well, how do you
That's
feel about
happening?
Like scenes that are shot in airplanes and submarines and stuff that aren't
or
real?
Cars.
Or cars, yeah.
Oh, but, first of all, it's just the idea that they get in a... It's so embarrassing that they have to get in a box and say something like, I'm going now up to the top floor, the very top. And when I get there, all your careers will be ruined. Doors slide shut. Actor stays in trapped box until two union guys, stagehands, open the box. And actor has to come back out and see all the people he just told off.
You guys both suck.
No, you suck.
No, you suck.
Watch this.
Great comeback.
Hey, listen to this. Huh. You suck.
Oh, good one.
I won. Did
good
you hear?
One.
Well, I'd like to try one.
Yeah, you try.
You suck.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. You're pretty good.
You both are ruining summer and you're ruining elevators. What are you happy about? What do you guys like?
Santa
what do you
Claus.
Like?
Santa Claus. Why did you say it like that? Santa Claus. What are you, Hans Gruber?
I like Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
I don't like this.
Okay. Okay. You've made your point.
Yeah.
Well, but I think the bigger point is that when an actor gets in an elevator or gets out of an elevator,
you ruin something.
I'm not going to ruin anything.
Oh, nice
like
try.
Everything.
Now you're ruining this.
I'm not you guys. I like things. I enjoy things.
You
I'm
know
not
the
look
your problem
at
is, Sona? You enjoy everything.
Everything.
Every time
that
there'd be a screener, and all those years before we knew you, Matt, and I was doing the late night shows, all those years that Sona worked for me, they would set up a screening for a movie. Every time we'd go and see a movie, when it was over, Sona would say, I loved it. And I would say, you know, because we saw everything. You'd see everything. And we saw some really great movies. And we saw some movies that even the actor in who's the star of it would come on the show. And in the commercial break, he'd go, yeah, I know, not so good. But what are you going to do? And I go, well, I thought it was pretty good. No, come on, let's face it. Every time, someone would go, I loved it.
I just really like that people did that. Like somebody wrote it. Someone wrote it. Someone directed it. Hundreds of people like swept up the set and built it. That's exciting. And that's good for them.
I know,
and
but we would watch sometimes we would watch a terrible movie and you'd be like, and you would get mad at me. I'd go like, I don't know, that movie doesn't make any sense. I mean, they introduce the character of the brother in the second act, and then he completely disappears, and then he's a walrus in the end, and they never explain. You'd go, they made it. Can we just all agree, and I think we can all agree, that summer goes by too quickly?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yes.
No, it doesn't.
And but the main point that I think we all agree on is that when an actor gets on an elevator or gets off an elevator, they're getting into a box that's going nowhere.
No.
And to me, that is a metaphor for the political state of America today.
Oh, my God.
We're
you
a box
guys,
going nowhere.
You, no, let's just enjoy things. Okay. Just enjoy summer.
Get the
here
show going.
Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus.
Here comes
Santa
Claus.
I just enjoy a lot of stuff. I do. I think everything
is
very cool.
I enjoy stuff. What a great, bold statement.
I do.
Wow.
I think
what
people make things, and that's good for them.
Yep.
Good for them.
Good for them. All right, let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Yeah. Hated a lot of good stuff, too.
Okay, settle down.
You
know, let's
like
relax.
Like your pipe, and you're like, no, I didn't like the third act. You're the worst. You're the worst to watch movies with. All right, I didn't mean that. You're actually really fun to watch movies with. You were really cool about it.
Anytime an actor gets on an elevator, they're getting in a box. Here we go.
God.
Hey, my guest today is CNN's chief Washington correspondent and host of The Lead with Jake Tapper, which airs weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. He's also a New York Times bestselling author. His latest book, All the Demons Are Here, is out tomorrow. Excited he's with us today. Jake Tapper, welcome. I was in Washington, D.C. not long ago for a to help usher in Adam Sandler getting the Mark Twain Award, because Mark Twain, Adam Sandler are often mentioned in the same breath. And it was a really fun event. A lot of people came out for it, including the ghost of Twain, who was not happy. But that aside, because I was in D.C., I reached out to Jake. I let him know that I was in town. And you invited me over to your home.
Yeah. He came over to the house.
Oh.
We had dinner at our favorite restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And
Chipotle.
Then he was...
It's actually it's a very good restaurant where Wolf Blitzer shows you to your table. It's called Blitzers, and they just sell blintzes.
That's and it. But many flavors.
Yeah. Oh, so many. There's 36 flavors of blintz, and he shows you to the table, and then it's embarrassing because he hangs around until you tip him. You guys, we were very nice because you invited me to your home. I don't think I told you this, but I got there. I took an Uber over, and sometimes Uber's not precise, and I took an Uber over from my hotel to where the address that you gave me for your house, and I realized I'm like 10 minutes early, so I'm just going to walk down the street. It's a really nice neighborhood, and I'm walking down the street a little bit, and this father-son come walking up the street. They're walking their dog. They said, hey, if you're lost, Jake's up that way.
Wow.
And they pointed me to your house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I guess it's so clear that I'd be the only person I'd hear to, you know, be seen with is Jake Tapper. But anyway, we went out. We had a really good time. It was fun. And then this is where you and I are in such symbiosis. After dinner, we went back to your house. You said, here, I want to show you something. And we walk around the neighborhood. And you said, see that house right there? That's where Lyndon Johnson lived when he was in the Senate. And then he was like, let's go this way. And then he shows me another house. And he was like, see that house? That was
J.
Edgar Hoover's house.
And I said, Clyde.
And Clyde. And I was like, this is fantastic. And of course, I know that about you because in your books, and these you're here to talk about, among many other things, you've got a new book, All the Demons Are Here, and you're picking up on these characters. These are actually the children of the two characters you've been describing and depicting in your other books. But you have all these great pop culture references and political references to the 1950s and 60s in the other books. And I love that stuff. Yeah. I can't get enough of it.
You were the one of the first, I sent a copy of the first book to the Hellfire Club, which is takes place in 54 and has our favorite president, President Eisenhower, as a character in the book. And that was, it was basically a book written for me and you.
Yeah. No, I actually fact-checked the book. I was like, wait a minute. No, he had his heart attack in his second term. I saved you from massive lawsuits.
That was close.
But Jake does a very good job of, and I'm not talking like you're not in the room, but I'm instructing, these two don't read. They don't know how to read.
They don't read.
Well, no, you read the novelizations of old Dynasty episodes.
Okay.
But
no.
That sounds pretty good.
They're actually very good.
Yeah.
So you do too.
Yes.
He writes them.
I write them.
Is that a real thing?
No, it's not. But it will be.
No, I don't think so.
It will be.
That's a $1 million idea.
Well, let's do it. You heard it here first.
That's really good. Have you ever, those clips come pop up every now and then, like an old Dynasty.
Oh, they're fantastic.
No, they don't, Jake.
Not on TV, on like Twitter or whatever.
Oh.
They'll be like Alex... Carrington, is that the name of the character?
Alexis Carrington.
And
I loved how many times one of them got shoved into a pool. They just decided that was what you do, is when one woman with wearing a dress with massive shoulder blades and a massive ring, who's an icon, pushes another into a pool.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pools were handy back then, it seems.
And sadly, filled with acid. You'd hear, and then a skeleton would float to the top. Listen,
okay.
We got way off topic. What I was trying to say to you guys is that Jake takes all of these true life events and he writes these novels, and All the Demons Are Here is one of them. And they're really, I enjoy them so much because he has got the characters bumping into people from in the, let's say, late 40s, early 50s. Then you're the
second
60s.
Book was The Devil May Dance. And yeah, that was the Rat Pack. And Sinatra's like a big character in it. Yeah.
Right. And I love, you have members of the Rat Pack out trying to help solve the crime, which was really, which was really funny to me. That it's just like, no, I think they wouldn't have been in any shape. Dean Martin's like, now hold on a second.
And then this one's 77, and like the main character, one of the main characters is Evel Knievel.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Evel Knievel is one of the main
characters. Now, you weren't alive for, because this takes place in 77, and it takes place after Evel Knievel's jump of Snake River Canyon.
I was born in 73.
Okay.
So
but
one,
you, don't,
you were one when the Snake River jump happened.
But boy, was I there.
Yeah. I remember there is footage of a little boy wearing a tweed suit and large glasses that only an adult would wear.
I stowed away in his saddlebags and made the jump with him.
Yeah. They said he would have made it, but he was unfortunately a pound and a half too heavy. And it was all tweed. You and I would have similar memories because in this book, it takes place in 77. And I remember 1977 very well because all these epic things happened. But you do reference the Snake River jump, which was a couple of years earlier.
Yeah.
That was such a huge event. I remember as a kid, they told us that they were going to put Evel Knievel in a rocket and fire him over a canyon. Nothing sparked our imagination more than that. And there was no, I don't think it was broadcast. All I know is that we were visiting my cousin in Worcester, Mass., and we raced out to the car to listen to what happened. And they said, well, looks like he didn't make it. And I thought...
They thought he died.
Because he misses... I don't even think he came close.
No, he did not. You know, it was like one of those rockets from like the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote rockets, like really makeshift. And one of the other things that's so weird about it is that this was actually considered like an athletic event. Like he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. This is not a sport. This wasn't, I mean, first of all, he was barely a good motorcycle rider to begin with. Like he just was like
he was willing to try.
Yes, yes.
And it's so funny because in this book, one of your main characters, one of the two children.
And
Ike is working with, and you make this point, he's not even riding motorcycles. And I'm guessing that you have done the research on this. Ike is complaining because he has to kind of check out the machinery and everything, and he's working for Evel Knievel, and he has to check out the machinery, and I'm guessing you researched this, that he's riding bikes you're not even supposed to jump in.
No, they're not good. They're not good for jumping.
It's like Harleys and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's really weird, but he was just willing to do it, and he built this, you know, incredible career that kind of, in 77, is kind of the beginning of the end of it. 74 was like his big, there are people our age, Conan, who think that they remember him jumping over the Grand Canyon,
But that never happened. It was Snake River, and he never made it. It was in a rocket ship, not on a motorcycle.
Yeah, let's clear that up.
You know, because we have people. We get people texting us all the time.
Yeah, Evel himself.
Yeah. I interviewed Evel Knievel on the late night show.
Did you really?
All I remember is it was not long before he passed. He didn't move very well.
No.
And I remember because I think the thing that every kid knew, this is how big Evel Knievel was. We all knew everything about Evel Knievel. I had his toy.
The wind up.
Yeah, you would wind up a motorcycle and you could do jumps with it. And I spent thousands of hours with my Evel Knievel wind up. And it would crash just like Evel would and fly into pieces. But Evel Knievel, what we all knew is that he had broken every bone in his body like 15 times.
And so there's a scene at the beginning of the book that's based on his real event, which is in January 77, he literally jumps sharks. Then this is like 7 months before Fonz did it.
Wow.
Like he set up a pool in Chicago, and I think ABC maybe had soured on him, so he was doing it for CBS. It was a special. It was going to be hosted by Telly Savalas and Jill St. John.
Of course.
And by the way, they were the original hosts of this podcast. It was Telly Savalas. It was Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend with Telly Savalas and Jill St. John.
And everything, because this is post Jaws. Jaws was, you know, huge bestseller.
75.
Book.
Yeah.
Yeah. And huge film. And so everything was Jaws. And so he came up with this idea. And so much of the stuff in the book having to do with Evel Knievel is just real, from his actual press conferences, from his actual events. And he in rehearsals hurt himself, and so the entire special went on, but he wasn't part of it. And
yeah, because who needs Evel Knievel in an Evel Knievel special?
He didn't jump the shark at all.
He did, but he landed wrong. His problem was always the landing.
But you mean he hurt himself?
Not the jumping.
Okay. In the rehearsal and then went on to do it, or
no,
didn't?
No, was rushed to the hospital with broken bones.
What was the special? What did they do?
All the other, like, side acts.
Yeah. And occasionally, they'd cut away to the hospital. And the doctor would say, we're extracting a shark's fin. You know, what's funny that's in the book that you talk about, and it's a really funny scene, is them trying to get the sharks, and they don't get good sharks.
No, they're awful sharks.
They're like small sharks that
they're like little lemon sharks.
They're in no way. He's basically jumping, you know, koi with larger dorsal fins.
And they had a camera in the pool just in case he landed in the pool. You could see the shark eat him.
Oh my God.
And the sharks were treated horribly, and like a bunch of them died on their way from Florida to Chicago, where they held this in the middle of the winter in January.
Stuff you couldn't get around. I mean, Jesus. Now if you want to abuse a shark, it's much harder.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, you looked into it.
Oh, trust me. I have a beef with those sharks.
But the guy's whole career was so spectacularly bizarre that just, I didn't know anything about Evel Knievel, really. Like that, I missed that when I was a kid. I was much more focused on like comic books and baseball. And but I have some friends that are really into it, and they really loved him. And Johnny Knoxville was actually one of them, who, like,
he's got the scars to prove
it. Yeah, and he did a documentary about him called Being Evel that's really good.
Yeah.
It really kind of gets into the fact that this guy was kind of like a charlatan. He was just like a showman, larger than life, who was able to like convince people that this was something real. And so that just seemed like a really good character to have. And so much of the stuff in the book as actual things that happened to him. For instance, he had this movie where he played himself called Viva Knievel, and it was a huge flop.
Right.
And and that also takes place in 1977.
You know, it's incredible to have the flexibility to work in all sorts of places, whether it's taking video calls from the park or emailing large files while you're grocery shopping. Sona, this is good for you.
Is it?
Because you're always doing whatever work you do for me from fun locations.
But I like blaming it on not having reception.
I know, but you can't do that here. Working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network, which is why you should check out T-Mobile, Sona.
Okay.
Then you got no excuses. They're America's largest and fastest 5G network. With T-Mobile, you'll be covered in more places with the 5G speed you need for your life on the go. Plus, they also cover more highway miles with 5G than anybody else. Check it out if you don't believe me.
Hey, Blay, you've got T-Mobile, right?
I do. I was actually just up in the woods in Idlewild. It was fantastic for the weekend. And my T-Mobile didn't miss it. My T-Mobile phone didn't miss it.
You know, I wouldn't think you'd need a cell phone because you speak so loudly into a microphone.
Well, I had to look some stuff up.
Just take it down
a notch. I didn't know what brunch was.
I can hear him.
When the restaurant's open for brunch.
Okay.
So I used my T-Mobile coverage to check
terrific,
out brunch.
Blay. That's all right. Anyway, wherever you are, you know, take it from the loud-speaking Blay. If you're on the go, you want to be in the know, you want to make the show.
What?
T-Mobile. Okay. That's the one for you.
That was
I should
weird.
Have rhymed it with go. Anyway, find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today. Coverage not available in some areas. Fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data Q3 2023. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. Come on, if most people are being honest, no one really knows what you do for work, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, especially if you're in a what I like to call B2B.
Oh,
you know?
What is that?
I'll explain.
Okay.
That's a business doing business with other businesses. You
okay.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I call it B2B. It's a little thing. It's also, it's a boy band I'm working on. Anyway, fortunately, LinkedIn has a network of professionals who get what you do, and you can reach the right people who matter most to your company because they're LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
LinkedIn has over, this is the fun part to say, 1 billion members.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's more people than are on Earth because there are people on the moon using it and Saturn. That's over 1 billion members on its platform, including 70 million decision makers. God, I'd like to meet a decision maker. Since LinkedIn members are regularly updating their work history, you can precisely build a target audience by job title, industry, company, and more. Man, you can reach the right people for your, I'm going to say it again, B2B business with LinkedIn ads.
Yeah.
Gets even better because LinkedIn will give you a $100 credit on your next campaign.
Hmm.
There you go. Just go to LinkedIn.com/Team Coco to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/Team Coco. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The 70s are filled with, oh, let's just try it. And in this crazy kind of way, like...
It's true.
The Brady Bunch... Which had been off the air for like 5 years, and someone said, "What if they had a variety show and we dressed them all kind of like Evel Knievel, like in jumpsuits,
right.
And we put them in a giant soundstage with a Olympic-sized swimming pool, and we got a bunch of synchronized swimmers, women as synchronized swimmers, to do Esther Williams stuff from the 1940s,
right?
And we'll have them all sing songs and dance." You mean the kids from the Brady Bunch know how to sing songs and dance? No, I have no idea. That's right. Not important. It's the 70s. We're all on coke. Who cares?
Right, and then they're like, Eve Plum won't do it. She says it compromises her. Because just get another blonde lady.
They did. They replaced Eve Plum.
Someone else.
The middle daughter, and they got a different person to play her, and they never addressed.
For integrity reasons, she wouldn't
no,
do it?
No, I don't know why she wouldn't do it.
I think at the time she thought, she heard Olympic-sized pool, and she said, this probably doesn't sound good. If they had come to her like 3 years later, she'd have said, where do I sign? But
right.
it was just a crazy time.
I went out to dinner last night, and our waitress was raised on a houseboat. And I said, oh, like Quincy. And the blank stare that she gave me, you know Quincy M.E.?
Yeah, that's the problem. There's a generational gap.
Do you not know who Quincy is?
I don't know who Quincy
Jack
is.
Jack Klugman played...
Jack Klugman.
Do you know Jack Klugman?
No.
Do you know The Odd Couple?
Yeah.
We're talking about human lives here.
I don't don't know what you're doing.
That's Quincy. Quincy.
That's Quincy.
Oh, Quincy.
Quincy was a show about a medical examiner.
Of course.
He was played by Jack Klugman, and it was kind of a big show.
Huge.
And he lived on, to give him some color, they had him live on a houseboat.
He was a ladies' man.
And he was a ladies' man.
Okay, he was a ladies' man. But my medical examiner.
My favorite, I saw a trailer once for a Quincy episode, this in real time in the late 70s, and they said, "And tune in tonight. You know, Quincy goes to the track for some fun." And it shows a horse racing, and it shows the actor who plays Quincy, Jack Klugman, going, "Go, go, go!" When the horse goes down, and you see the horse collapse, and you see, like, literally hooves in the air. And then they say, Quincy, they just have a shot of Quincy, and he's looking down at the horse, and he looks up dramatically, and he went, "This horse was murdered."
That's so good.
And I was like, I can't believe I don't know
this. It was like 1980, and I was jumping up and down in front of my TV set. This horse was murdered.
But that's one of the shows that, what was the show you did with Adam West? It was
Look Well. Yeah,
Look Well.
Robert Smigel and I did a pilot for Adam West called Look Well about a
and Quincy was one, like Banachek, Quincy. All those shows,
Mannix,
were like, they were part of what inspired you.
Yes, there were
a guy who doesn't play by the rules.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
But he's like in part of the system. He does a
but
he does it his
job.
Way. Okay.
And also, people are always saying to him, "Quincy, come on. It was a clear heart attack." "No, it wasn't. And I'll prove it." And then he goes rushing off, and it's so much. Go on YouTube and look at these Quincy clips. There's one.
I'm okay.
Go ahead.
Quincy clips.
I'm okay.
No, go do that right now.
I'm busy that day.
No. Just put the kids to sleep early, at 3 in the
them
afternoon.
Up early.
You know what you would like, Gorley?
Change my kids' schedule.
You would like? And then we'll move on to more prosperous areas. But I swear to God, there's a clip out there. There's an episode where Quincy encounters the phenomenon of like punk music and punk dancing. And something bad happens to somebody, and I'm not kidding. They actually tried to recreate it, but it's like 1970s TV writers' conception of, and it's the band is like yelling death, death, murder, hate, and Quincy's in the audience going, "What's happening? What's wrong?
This song was murdered.
This song was murdered."
Very
nice. Doing Cole Porter,
right? It's like when Elizabeth Berkley on Saved by the Bell got addicted to
caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that kind of like.
See, now you're edging up into territory that Sona knows.
Now I know.
I'm trying to bring it up a little bit.
Thank you for doing that.
It reminds me of the time Big Time Rush made that movie where they went to London and the bad guys tried to get them.
Huh?
Now I went too far into.
I know who Big Time Rush is, but I don't know what movie you're talking about.
Well,
it's
good to know about everything, Sona. It's good to know about everything.
My kids don't know any of the stars that I know or think.
Well, that's what's interesting to me is I grew up knowing about stuff in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and you know once it's happening in your lifetime, you know it. But sometimes I get the suspicion that now a lot of kids don't know about anything that happened before them. Is that just me being a cranky old guy?
I think that might be you being a little bit of a... I mean, people know older things, but the things that you know are like shows that ran for one season that no one else talks about.
Quincy was a huge show.
Quincy was big. Yeah.
Was it, guys?
Yeah. Quincy was a big show.
It was a huge show.
I think there was also like three channels.
That's true.
Everyone
had
to watch
time.
Quincy.
And Quincy was so big, it was on all three channels.
It was on all three channels. Quincy.
Simulcast.
But the opposite's also true. I don't know what it's like with your kids, but my kids know people that I have no idea what they're talking. You know when you go to the CVS or whatever and like a magazine cover and I'm like, I have no idea who there are 30
well,
people
that's
on the cover.
Yes. But you know what?
I don't know who any of
that's
them are.
That's reality television, but I think. Okay. Because a lot of it is, you know, Janet tells Kristen she better back off because, you know, Nico is hers, and it's something from Below Deck, the underwater series, whatever. And I don't know what any of it is.
That's a really good show.
It can't be.
Sona doesn't know who I am. she's still figuring it out.
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you again? I think it's funny because I was wondering, these books must be a nice, because your day job, I would think, gets very intense.
Yes.
And then so you spend a day talking about
Is the system
was constructed 240 years ago possibly crumbling, and then it's okay, you can go home now, and maybe it's fun to go into a room and be these imaginary people that live in a different time.
Yep, and just yes, and during yeah, during this political era, it's nice to run away from it all. Although there's a lot of, obviously, there's a lot of resonance for what is going on today in this book, because the two plots, so it's Ike and Lucy tell the story, their brother and sister. Ike is with Evel Knievel in Montana, and that is, that becomes like kind of a plot about demagogues and people who follow demagogues. Like, why would you follow, like, Evel Knievel decides he's going to run for president, kind of like a publicity stunt, and he and his, and this gang of people who are living in the woods of Montana start following him to Washington, D.C. to raise hell. And then Lucy is working for a brand new tabloid in Washington, D.C. called the Washington Sentinel, which is being started by a British media magnate named Max Lyon, who is very obviously loosely based on Rupert Murdoch.
In the book, you originally called him Goopert Gerdock.
You saw an early draft.
And then your lawyers got involved. Goopert Gerdock. Hello, mate. Goopert Gerdock's the name.
Oh, my God. I've never heard your Australian accent.
Oh, was it's that Australian?
I thought that was fantastic.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
77, do you get into any Star Wars in there?
Star Wars is mentioned. It's mentioned at the beginning.
Just checking due diligence.
Ike and Rachel, the girl he's in love with, reference going to see Star Wars. Also, a film that I'm sure you're familiar with called Tentacles. Oh. One of a million Jaws knockoffs.
Oh, okay.
Horrible movie starred Henry Fonda. Like, it has all these huge actors. It's about a giant octopus.
I imagined.
And what you might not know is that octopi don't even have tentacles. They have arms. So it wasn't even named correctly.
Why everything?
Well, it was just, again, this is called the late 70s.
Yes.
And that summer of 77, I remember really well because I was and am a huge Elvis fan, and that's the summer that Elvis died.
Which is also a plot point in the book. And the big caravan of Evel Knievel, they stop at Graceland and mourn Elvis.
And then he jumps over the casket. And crashes.
You know, Graceland, by the way, at the time was not a museum. It was just where he lived.
That's where he lived, yeah. So. My house is now a museum, even before I go.
Really?
Yeah.
Like just, your president's
and
a library?
I'm the one, it's like when you go room to room and you push a button, it's me there. This is where I read the paper.
Have you ever been in Graceland?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the White House, surprisingly small.
Yeah, it is very small. I mean, you can imagine when Elvis got Graceland and he's like 20,
right?
And he buys this house, he couldn't imagine a bigger home. And then all these years later, now that we live in this era of like McMansions and people being in big spaces, Graceland is like, oh, this is cozy.
It's nothing like Coneland.
No.
Which I've been to.
I'm going to build a Coneland.
Yeah.
I'm going to build it.
Coneland is quite nice. I'm sure.
It's going to be in the Smoky Mountains.
Have they all been to Coneland?
You both have been to my home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Of course.
And there are a few times you don't even know it.
Oh,
I saw you.
Weird.
The camera caught you once.
I wanted that to happen.
Coneland is beautiful.
Yeah. It's a big tourist attraction. I'm the only guy that is trying to get the celebrity star bus to go by. I'm like waving them in. Hello.
Actually, you send out Sona to give maps.
I do.
To the map people, it's just your house.
Right. Or sometimes I just say, I'm Adam Sandler's house. And then from behind the hedge, I go, I want to talk.
By the way, he killed at the Sandler Mark Twain Award. You did a great job.
It was fun. It was a really fun night.
Conan did a great job. He definitely put a lot of work into it. In a good way, I mean.
Yeah, you got it. You got to prepare. You got to prepare. It's the way I prepare for these things.
But I'm just saying,
Mr. Tipper. With his new book, All the Demons.
Demons.
Be here.
All the demons are
yes,
here.
Yes, all the demons are here.
Well, you know, so let's talk about other crazy things that happened in 77. So, Summer of Sam.
Yep.
77.
Remember that being a big deal. Do you know what that is?
Yeah,
he killed
a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, and he said that his dog.
He killed it. He tickled. He killed.
Back then, tickling was a really bad crime.
It was a capital
But
offense.
They never found out who it was.
Yes, they did.
Oh, just kidding. Sam. Just kidding. Yeah, yeah. Sam.
David Berkowitz.
Of course.
Still in prison.
And he heard voices.
Yes, from his dog.
There we go. Okay.
From his
dog. I get my serial killers.
You know, they should have arrested the dog when you think about it.
Yeah.
The mastermind. So what did I just say to do it? I didn't mean anything to really do it.
Even your dog is Nixon.
I am not a crook.
All roads lead back to Nixon. Always.
Studio 54 opens.
Oh. Yep. Oh.
Studio 54 opens.
Saturday Night Live is really hitting its stride by 77. It's a huge thing.
The New York City blackout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Jimmy Carter takes office. Elvis dies. Horrible.
Oh, and guess who dies shortly after Elvis dies and no one pays attention because the Elvis news is so big? Groucho Marx.
Is that true?
Yep. I remember being also a huge Marx Brothers fan, and shortly after Elvis dies, Groucho Marx passes away, and it gets kind of a... We'll take a brief moment from all this Elvis coverage. Yeah.
That's Groucho like Farrah Marx. Fawcett on the same day as Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Farrah Fawcett Majors died, and then Michael Jackson died like an hour or two later. And she got short shrift.
I'm going to have my publicist do a lot of calling around before I pass. Anybody out there? Any big stars? Because Conan O'Brien's about to go.
He'd like to reserve this afternoon block.
Yeah, he wants the whole afternoon and into the evening. How's Kimmel feeling? Kimmel's fine. He took care of himself. Oh, how about Colbert? Well, Colbert, he's okay. He's going to hang in for at least another month. Good. All right, well, I'm out then. And then just as I'm going to start to just go up to see the light. I'm going to start, my soul is going to start to leave my body, and then a massive star is going to be killed in a balloon.
Yeah.
And I'm going to jump back into my body.
That would be a feat.
I can do that.
You should write a book about that. That's a great idea. Literally as a novel.
A guy who's obsessed with getting the most coverage possible.
Trying to figure out how to do it. It's actually a really good idea.
But, I don't know if it's a book as much if it's like a 40-minute funny movie.
Well, who does it in, is it Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn that sees his own funeral? I forget which one it is. You're the Mark Twain expert. You tell me.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get the prize.
Well, you deserve it, but you
did. Thank you so much.
You didn't pass the quiz.
No, I didn't.
That Sandler did.
I believe, isn't it Huck Finn who's up in a tree and watches his own?
Tom Sawyer.
Yes, Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer. Thank you so much for getting that for us.
It is. It's Tom Sawyer.
No,
Sawyer.
I know.
Some people think it's Huck Finn, but it's not.
Tom Sawyer sees his own funeral.
Yeah.
But what if there were a guy who, like you, wanted to see the spectacular media coverage that you get?
Well, here's the other problem. We all know that's not happening.
It also so much of it's timing. I can say as somebody who covers these things. So, for instance, Tina Turner,
right?
She died in like it was announced in an afternoon,
right?
Like maybe like 2 o'clock, and it got a ton of coverage.
But she was also, I mean,
she was a legend,
huge legend.
I'm telling you, like some of it is just timing. Like some of it has to do with like how big is the other news going on that.
Sona, this is on you. You need to organize this.
Oh no, don't do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the death of him. You don't have to coordinate when he dies, but when it's announced.
No, bury it at a Friday at 5 p.m.
I know. It's going to be my last thing I do for you, and I'm going to botch it.
During the Oscars. Also, it's how you go. I think if I can, you know, like if I bought a Zeppelin and I took it up, you know what I mean? And collided with another Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got to be spectacular.
You can't die of natural causes.
Wait a minute. Attacked by a lion while in a Zeppelin.
Oh.
Flying thousands of feet
in the air. It could be like rescuing someone.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. Like you're heroic. It's a heroic death. We didn't appreciate him while he was here. We didn't talk enough about his heroic side.
How about this, Jake? You're in the news business, and I could slip you a couple of bucks. Let's say however I go, and let's say it's even if it's it's not great.
You're like on the toilet.
Yeah, and I just had very bad diarrhea. And I died of diarrhea, and it was just 3 days of it. And
people die of diarrhea, Sona. That's a real thing.
I know. How do you die? Like you, what do you
do? Lose all your water and your nourishment.
So my point is that
It's not one bout of diarrhea. Okay. It's like days and days and
no,
weeks.
No, but mine is long bout.
One is just an explosion.
It's one long explosion. And so my point is, that's how I go. I'm going to have Sona contact you, Jake, and you're going to say, try to foil a robbery to protect.
Oh.
You know,
if Sona says, like, in a bizarre diarrhea accident?
Yeah, and I take pictures of it and I post them up everywhere. Right. I'm not the one to trust with this. Yeah.
Speaking of which, can I say something about Elvis? I learned while writing this book that one of the reasons why some people blamed Rupert Murdoch for the death of Elvis Presley, and I'll tell you why, because he had a couple bodyguards that his dad, Vernon, fired. And then
Elvis is okay. Yeah.
And they did a tell-all.
Yes. Elvis's two of Elvis's bodyguards. One was Red West.
Right.
And the other, I can't remember which one it was.
Blue East.
No, it's in the back. It's, I'll tell you.
What?
Blue East.
What?
Oh,
I have,
Matt.
I have,
I'm contributing.
I have,
you're not contributing anything.
Oh,
look, you're reading through your own book now.
Someone, well, I have, as you know, I do.
Do they ever cut back to you on CNN and you forgot and you're reading your own book?
It's, no.
That's
it's,
the way to get cover up.
Red West,
yeah.
Sonny West, and Dave Hebler.
Okay.
As told to Steve Dunleavy.
Right. Who worked for
the New York Post, who worked for Murdoch. And they, so they sold this book and this book came out. And some people think it's so depressed Elvis by...
The book was called Elvis, What Happened? And it was his two bodyguards saying, yeah, man, is he in rough shape, Elvis. And many people think that that was one of
that
the
that
things...
That was one of the precipitating events that caused him to, like, overdose, and that's how he died. And so yeah, there are people out there who blame Rupert Murdoch for the death of Elvis Presley. Mm. I mean, because he published the book, Steve Dunleavy.
There might be other things to get mad at Rupert Murdoch about before.
I'm not saying I'm one of... And also, like, they were telling... And they're... story about Elvis was true. I mean, what they were saying about him was accurate.
Right.
Nobody disputes that. But anyway, how did you know about Red West and Sonny West?
Oh, I know all kind. I think I know a lot about.
He's an Elvis fanatic.
Well, a fanatic is a little crazy.
You're, yeah.
I know a lot
You're a big fan of his.
When I have areas of interest, I go deep, and yeah, then I know a lot about it. And so that would include. But I think that spreads over a wide area. There are many areas of interest, whether it's Elvis Presley, Elvis Costello, Lou Costello of Abbott and Costello. Oh. Those are my three areas of interest. Now, let me ask you a question about your life, which is when it's been a really tough news day,
yeah,
and you're watching things go down that maybe can worry you as a husband and a father, are you able to go home and shake that off and say, oh,
it really depends. I mean, sometimes, yes. I mean, look, most news is not good news, right? Most news is negative in some way or another. Like, some things are very distressing. Obviously, the school shootings are very upsetting. War is very upsetting. You know, January 6th was very upsetting, that sort of thing. And it's tough to shake it off. But generally speaking, I go home and I try to change the subject. I try to, yeah, just be with the kids and be with the wife and not, I don't watch news. I'll watch you or I'll watch other things on streaming or whatever, but like I'll try not to watch any news when I go home.
Do you, I mean, I guess Twitter has become a different thing, but
it's really weird now, isn't it?
Are you
on it? Like the algorithm.
I got off. I couldn't.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I didn't go on it that much, but there are certain ways where you can get the news in kind of a straightforward way on Twitter. And then I felt like it started to change. And now I'm seeing a lot of stuff that just really depresses me. And I feel like I'm a very heavy lens has been put in front of me that's distorting the picture.
I feel like there's an algorithm that, look, all social media has this now where they've all been doing this where they're exacerbating and making us see conflict and hate and stuff like that. But I feel like this new permutation of Twitter is like, it's showing me things I don't want to see. Like there's a whole, I have the people I follow and I want to read them, but like it defaults to some other group of tweets that like, I don't want to watch. I don't want to read these tweets from these people. Who are they?
Right.
Like they've added this thing of like, here are tweets that we would like you to read.
As opposed to this is what you would like to read.
Yeah. From, you know, really awful people. Mm. And I don't know. I mean, it's just strange to me, but I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All you see online is extremes. Right. Like the people in the middle aren't really that active. It's the people who are extreme who are just
the
loudest.
Are you just talking about Twitter or are you talking about all social media?
All of them. All this, like when I go on Reddit, I feel like it's like sometimes it's very doomsy.
Well, of course, it's Reddit. What do you think, what are you talking about? That's like,
I know,
when I go into the dark web, it takes a turn. Yes. Yeah.
But can I just say, even the pornography I watch is very, it's very doomsday. It's always like, let's do it. What's the point? We'll be dead soon. And then, wong chunka, wonka, wonka, wong chunka.
Yeah.
You look tense.
Wong chunka.
Wong chunka, that's your porn music?
I thought it was shaka bow bow.
Well, that's, I like to score my own pornography.
Everybody wong chuck it tonight.
Everybody wong
chuck it tonight.
You listen on mute and then you do the music for it.
Yeah.
What a
turn on.
I like to mute the porn and then put my own music in.
And voices.
La 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 la.
It's sound effects. Oh, boy, here I go.
I've never heard one chucka-chucka. Oh, like, I've just never.
I was thinking more of that's like a Beretta episode.
It's a I thought it was agreed upon that it was shaka-bow, bow.
I thought it was.
Ooh, nice.
When was the last time you guys watched porn?
1977. It's in the book.
Yeah. That was the summer of porn. We were all, except during the blackout.
Yeah.
When suddenly all the porn went dark.
That's the blackout.
No, when Elvis passed, we all had to do something to recover. So we watched porn.
4 years old.
And of course, that porn went a wong chunka wong chunka wong chunka. I'm telling you, this is all true. It's all in the book.
There's no porn music.
There's no porn in the book.
No, there's no porn. There is no porn in the book.
What's your,
don't worry.
Like, if you were to do porn music, what would it be?
It wouldn't be, there would be no music. It's just the squishing sounds.
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. Like, what are they making latkes? Before they have sex?
It's the squishing sound.
This is not a squishing
sound. No, that's a clapping sound.
I know, I can't squish with my hands properly.
We have a respected newsman here.
I know.
And what's going on? People rely on him.
Somebody
to find out what's happening. And this is what you do with it, Sona?
I didn't take us down this road.
Well, Gorley and I put beautiful music
to
pornography. Uh-huh. And then you come along with your physical sound.
Your squishy noise.
Apparently, you and your husband high-five each other during sex.
Squishing sound. That's just like a
We did it!
The Clippers scored another hit. Listen to that crowd squish.
Your babies are good, though, you said.
Come on. Why do you have to go to my babies for porn?
Because all of a sudden we were talking about you having sex. So like
God, yeah, they're good. They're going to be
the only time. Yes, you had babies.
Yes,
that's
what
I know. And last time I did this podcast, you were about to have twins.
And you suggested I name them Leopold and Loeb.
Which is a fantastic idea.
That's great.
I think Leopold and Loeb is the perfect name for them.
Yeah, or Eric and Lyle.
Eric and Lyle
is a good one.
There are so many killing duos.
Sacco and Vanzetti.
Sacco and Vanzetti. Well, were they guilty? We don't know.
Oh. Right. Fat man and little boy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Those
are the nuclear bombs we
dropped. Yes, they are. That's right.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if one of her kids were a little chubbier than the other one, that could be fat man and little boy.
Yeah. One's a little thicker.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. That's great.
He's probably listening right now, and a single tear is going down his cheek.
Yeah, he's listening.
Mama thinks I'm chunky. I want to make sure I mention this. All the demons are here. This book is out. There's a large chunk at the end, which is telling you, it's giving you basically factual follow-ups.
The end notes are just, I put those at the end of every book so people can know what's real and what's not real from all the stuff I write about, because there's historical fiction. It's historical fiction, so there's real things. And if you want to know, you know, did Jake make up Viva Knievel, or is that a real movie? And you just go, no, Viva Knievel was a real film. And then I do the review from the 1977 Daily Variety. In the most daring feat of his career, Evel Knievel leaps over a mountain of blazing cliches in a cavernous plot. That's so real.
You know what? I think that critic had made up their mind before they went. I think they went, you know, to hate Evel Knievel's movie. I would have written a wonderful review for that movie.
I think Gene Kelly was in it.
Well, there was an era. Do you remember the Swarm? It was about bees, killer bees coming up, and they got huge stars to be in these things.
All the Irwin Allen disaster films.
And also, all the Irwin Allen disaster films had the biggest Hollywood stars of the 30s and 40s and 50s were in disaster movies in the late 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And it's mostly them saying, my God, how could this have happened?
Think about the Towering Inferno. It had Paul Newman and Steve McQueen.
And O.J. Simpson.
And Fred Astaire.
That's right.
Keep going. That's it.
Fire.
Roddy McDowell's in all of them.
Right. And George Kennedy.
George Kennedy is in almost every disaster movie.
But you know, you talked about the killer bees thing in The Swarm.
We've alienated so many people on this podcast.
So can I just tell you about The Swarm?
Yeah.
I mean, not The Swarm, but killer bees. So in the 70s, this was a legitimate fear. Who's old enough to only, are you the only, no, you maybe you too.
No. I love that you pointed to Blay, who's actually about 22. But he went through a horrifying experience 2 years ago.
Do you remember killer bees? Okay,
yeah, so killer bees were a big thing that were going to kill us all.
So, right. they were coming from South America. They were coming. They did a horror movie about it called The Swarm. They did. There was an NBC did a special about it. And researching this book, I found out that it was all pretty much invented by Rupert Murdoch to sell papers.
Oh my God, he sucks.
In San Antonio,
I'm not prepared to say that.
The first, the first newspaper,
Cooper.
He bought these San Antonio newspapers, and they basically scared the shit out of the country to sell papers. And the killer bees were a real thing, but it was it was going to take years for them to get to the United States, and you only really it wasn't like one right. one would sting you. It'd be like. Like 1,000 would have to sting you to kill you. Anyway.
No. It was, again, an incredibly cheesy, kooky movie about the killer bees coming and taking over towns. And I remember there's at one point, I think it was Michael Caine was a scientist in it. And
The Swarm? Is that
and
right?
I don't do a Michael Caine impression. It'll just be Nixon again. But no. but Michael Caine says, I can't believe it was the bees. They've always been our friends. Of all the insects, it was the bees.
It's more like, I can't believe it was the bees.
Oh. It was the bees.
You know, it's just a slow, I'm really shocked. It's not
I
a
can't
good,
believe.
Good. Okay, but there you go.
It was the bees.
Well, that took a turn.
Well, I'll try again.
There you go. I'll try again. There it is.
Bees. I love bees, Mary Poppins.
All right.
Fool. Do you remember the...
When I'm the voice of reason here... Then the shit has hit the fan.
Do you remember the horror movie starring Michael Caine called The Hand?
I just watched that.
Did you watch? Really?
Yes,
I haven't seen that.
Oh, I adore that movie.
He
it's
is
horrible.
A cartoonist who loses his hand in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hand starts killing people.
Mm-hmm.
The hand escapes and starts killing people. And then, should we do the spoiler alert? Or
yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't worry about it.
You're not
it.
Sure whether it's in his head? Imagining it or it's manifesting his
like,
desire
is he killing,
to kill people.
Is he killing people
yeah.
and he's imagining that it's his hand creeping along?
I'm going to say no. I'm going for it's actually the hand.
Correct. But you don't find that out to like the last minute of the movie.
It's the 70s. Who directed and wrote it, Oliver Stone,
yep.
who plays a cameo as a bum in that movie
yep.
too. Yeah.
We
we got more time. Let's cover some movies.
We've got
Atlanta, you're live.
Atlanta, you're on the air.
This is what talking to you does, Jake.
I know.
Because your books are filled with all this stuff, then the next thing you know, we're talking about The Hand.
Yeah.
And so we might as well get the word out on The Hand.
Yeah.
Written and directed by Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
And that same old story about a cartoonist who loses his hand, 1981, and the hand, of course, goes out and kills people.
Yeah.
So check that out. I'm sure that's one of those movies that when you look for it on streaming, you will not find it.
Oh, I got places.
You got places.
We know you
dark
have places.
Dark web. You go to Sona's right. house for, yeah. and check out her dark web where she has the squishy porn. Reddit,
I'm going to watch
Reddit subreddit
tonight, I'm gonna
squish
watch,
porn.
Squish porn. Wonka chunka, squish porn.
Wonka chunka, wonka chunka, wonka chunka. High five. All right. Jake Tapper, book. It's a thriller. All the demons are here.
Book.
It's a book. Go and read it. Book. No, you're a New York
Jake
Times
Tapper,
best-selling author.
Yep.
This is a big deal.
Yep.
It's a cool thing.
Well, thank you so much. You guys are you're very kind.
We're not professional. I don't know that we've helped you in any way.
Yeah.
But
I think your listeners read books. I think they do.
They do. They're very
smart. We're trying to weed them out.
We're trying to change that.
Yeah. I think you have smart
we
listeners.
We do. We have very cool fans and very erudite fans, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jake Tapper.
Thanks, guys.
God
it's
bless
great to be
and
here.
Go in peace.
Thank you so much.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was editing the podcast not long ago, and I don't know if you remember this, but in one of the intros, we had a conversation where you were talking about how you told your dad when you were eating a meal, like, mm-hmm. I don't like this. And your dad said, I don't know what you like.
No, he said, why should I care what you like and don't like? Yeah.
Despite all of our little sibling rivalry have here, you know, I think you're a very funny guy. You did this voice on there where you're that age Conan telling your father what you like.
Uh-huh.
And I was editing and I was fucking rolling. What, do you remember it was?
I don't remember the voice.
Father!
Oh, that guy. And what I really like to do is when I'm really doing a prissy young fellow, I like to say instead of father, the Latin pater. Oh, pater. Pater. And I have a little bell. A ding-a-ling, ling, 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 ling. Pater. Yes, son, what is it? Pater. It should be clear now. I know I'm one of six and I'm in the middle. But I think you'd know by now, I'm not a fan of half and half. I like 2%. Well, half and half is just a little too thick. But 2%, it gets it just right. It's not quite as viscous. SAT word.
You lousy punk.
Oh, pater. Don't get your panties in a bunch, pater. Come here. Come here, I'll smash you. You have to catch me first. I've got one of those old-timey bicycles with a giant front wheel. It's called a velocipede, or a penny farthing, if you will. I'm getting upon it right now, and you'll have to catch me. Whee! And then I'm zipping around the room. My father's in his lab coat trying to catch me. Come here, you creep. You lousy. Again, so that we don't forget, pater. 2% is on the money for me. 1%'s too thin. Half and half's too thick.
I love that the other five children are 100% normal children, and you're the only one in that family who wears a little beanie.
I will tell you a true story, which is, this is an absolutely true story about my brother Luke. We lived in Brookline, Massachusetts, and we would walk. There was this store that we would go to, and it was like a small grocery, and our parents would send us, my mom would send us on errands, like, can you go get some hamburger? Can you get this? Can you get that? The store was in this one area where there's like, there were these tougher kids, like the Irish Catholic kids that played hockey, which my brother and I definitely were not. They were the ones that played hockey, and they kind of knew, those are those weird kids. Their father's like a scientist, and they read. And they I think we kind of stuck out and they thought we were strange. We were walking over. My brother Luke is very, very highly intelligent. He's really smart and he was really very precocious at that age, much smarter than I was and still much smarter than I am. And we walked down to Star Market one day and these tough kids came over and they kind of half surrounded us and they were sort of pushing us. And the thing to say, at least in our town in those days, was if you wanted to say something negative about someone, you say, what are you, mental? Oh, yeah. What are you, mental? Yeah. You know, it was like, hey, what are you, mental? And they were kind of shoving us a little bit and they were saying to Luke, what are you, mental? And Luke actually said to them, well, mental is Latin and it implies of the mind. So that's kind of a compliment. Thank you very much. Bam! The beating that ensued lasted for 20 minutes.
I was on your side till he said that.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I do remember Luke. That. I know. And, you know, Luke weighed all of like 80 pounds and I probably weighed 81 pounds and he was older than me, but he had like, I don't know, he had been a little sickly. So anyway, it was just absolutely.
What do you do when your brother, you just hide?
Oh, I think I said, I don't know him.
Oh, no.
Even though we look identical.
Yeah, you guys look so much alike.
Yeah, people did think we were twins practically, but I think I pretty much had a standard line, which is, I don't know this man.
I'll help you hit him.
And yes, if anyone gets tired hitting him, I'm a pretty good hitter.
Here's a stick.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't have to use your fist. There's some rocks over here. That way you don't bruise your knuckles. And then Luke, of course, at the bottom of the pile would say, well, rocks are actually, they're denser than the actual bone of a fist. So I think Conan's got a good point.
You know, the Greeks believed.
No.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. What are you, mental? Well, Latin does imply, yes. And then I'd run home to tell my father, Pater, Pater, some hooligans are thrashing Luke. What? Which one's Luke? Luke is the one 1 year older than I. But a year separates us. Of the six, he is two, and I am three. Oh, Pater, what a thrashing he's taking. I don't have time to do anything. What am I supposed to do about it? I'm a microbiologist. Father, you say you're a microbiologist. Why do you sound like a prize fighter? You lousy. By the way, did you pick up that 2%?
Not the time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyway, a little glorious. Luke, I love you.
Glory.
You're still smarter and better than me, but man, shouldn't have whipped out that Latin in front of those hockey players. And for that, I mean, that's on you, man.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien needs a friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Ovsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering by Eduardo Perez. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.